All I want for Christmas is a teddy bear, said the 8-year-old daughter of a vicar of Christ Church in a small Welsh village. This was a reasonable request, you might think, just a teddy bear. In fact, a very reasonable request. It was only the timing that made it unreasonable. Any parent will think about this. 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve. That makes your heart a little bit challenged here. As the vicar recounts the story, he not only had trouble fulfilling this 8-year-old's request on 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, but he also had to take Miss Peggy to midnight mass during that time as well. Now, the story goes that Miss Peggy was a rather large and eccentric woman. She was asleep in her chair when he arrived at her home, and mass was significantly uphill in the hills of Wales. Nonetheless, by the grace of God, the seemingly impossible was accomplished. The eccentric and elderly Miss Peggy made it to Mass on Christmas Eve and back, none the worse for wear. And when Peggy settled in at 1 o'clock or whatever it was on Christmas morning now, she asked the vicar if she knew of anyone who might need a teddy bear. She had one to give. It seemed that the intended recipient didn't have space for so large a teddy bear. With amazement, the vicar put this large bear in his small car, and the next morning, this teddy bear awaited his 8-year-old daughter as she tumbled down the stairs, as only children can do on a Christmas morning, to see if Christmas had indeed come to her house that morning. Incredible, the unexpected gift that accompanied the seemingly impossible task of Miss Peggy's annual outing to the midnight mass. That came just from the vicar mildly following Jesus and wildly seeking to live in God's way. Unexpected gifts of their very nature can't be traced, can't be charted. You and I can't say, I'm going to step out of my way and every time expect something to happen. They wiggle away from us. They can't be tracked down. They can't be counted on each and every time. It's a way of life that's less about Christmas as a cultural destination and more about Advent as a life prophecy where God's way seems to break through when we least expect God to show up. Mary's song is not at all about that mild Christmas card version of a quiet child, who knows that child anyway, and a reflective mother. I don't know when these moments come with quiet children and reflective mothers anyway. Mary's song is about justice that extends way beyond the season of Advent and pushes the edge of any Christmas card that you and I ever send. If God is in the business of choosing the unlikely to send God's very self into the world, you and I, we better watch out. We might get chosen. God is using us. Our fresh Advent eyes remind us that we are in the living nativity as much as we're studying it. This is a picture from last night, our live nativity here. Take a look. You might recognize some of the faces in the live nativity. You see, Mary is a prophet in the biblical sense. Mary has agency and choice in a season where we find ourselves culturally talking about consent. It's good to notice that Mary is asked to carry God's very own self, and we hear her say, "Here I am, use me." We hear ask and consent. She observes the life she is living. Biblical prophet who's predicting less about crystal ball fanfare and more about observing the moment. Prophets who look back about what's been and what the moment is now. A prophet who speaks on behalf of God, where you and I should be living for God, mildly following Jesus and wildly seeking God's way. It was only 50 years after the birth of Jesus that Paul's letter, the letter to Thessalonica, the one that Matthew read for us, was written. The one that at the same time is both mild and wild. It's filled with encouragement. Did you hear it? It's got some rejoice and it's got some prayer. It's got a little bit of lift you up. And then it's wild at the same time. Pray without ceasing. That sounds wild to me. People have debated over centuries. How can you pray without ceasing? Lived through by those who just 50 years after the birth of Christ could see the life of Jesus just in the rearview mirror. Give thanks, it says, when you'd rather spend time complaining. Rejoice when it seems like there's nothing worthy of joy. Paul, who spoke as a prophet, not because he wanted everyone to put smiles on their Christmas cards, talked about being content in all things. Paul calls us to wildly praise God, even when the burdens are heavy. Are you starting to hear the threads that go through from Mary to Paul? So what can this look like for you and I here today? What are the prophets of old and the prophets today saying to us? I imagine this. Mary today might have said to us that CHIP, that is the Children's Health Insurance Program, today would cover all children, not get axed out of our programs because tax cuts are needed. I think Mary might have stood up and said this. Mary would have sung the praises of God who cared for the needs of every child, for everyone born. You know that song we sing when a little one is baptized? For everyone born, a place at the table. Preventive care for immunizations and education for well visits, access to healthy foods. God who lifts up the vulnerable children in need. Mildly following Jesus and wildly seeking to live God's way. I think Mary today would have proclaimed access for medications for seniors, regardless of incomes, but probably especially for those who aren't sure how the numbers get to the end of the month. That part's a little challenging sometimes. Did you hear Mary say, filling the hungry with good things? God caring for the needs of those most in need of God's compassion and concern, engagement, and care. You know, you and I might find ourselves looking squarely in the face of the Marys and the prophets today and not recognizing her because she doesn't have the blue veil draped around her face and wondering exactly where Jesus is. One of the things I love most about doing chapel time here during the week with our CMO, with our preschoolers, is that our preschool friends have no trouble picking up on what's most important. In fact, they're really honest with me all the time. Sometimes that's challenging, but all the time. So I have to tell you, we have 7 classes, and they range from 18 months up through age 5, which is ready to rule the world by age 5. And in November, we finish saying thank you for everything. And in December, they told me it was ready to get ready for Christmas. And I asked them, what do we have to do to get ready? They told me, get ready for Santa. I said, okay, what else? Get ready for a Christmas tree. Okay, what else? Some of my sweet friends, and I love this, that's why I'm telling you, they told me, you have to get ready because baby God is getting ready to be borned. Baby God is getting ready to get borned. Did y'all know that's what you're getting ready for? Baby God's getting ready to get borned. That's who Jesus is. Baby God, who's getting ready to get borned. Mary, who was shocked by baby God getting ready to get borned, the outrageous nature of God, had the good sense to follow along when God guided her. That's what Mary knew when the angel said, you're going to carry a child, and the details might not make a lot of sense. She had the good sense to say, let it be according to your word. She proclaimed the power, the subversive and mild Jesus Christ, who is going to turn the upside down world right side up, accepting the challenge and the privilege to bear that baby God who needed to get borned into our world. You and I find ourselves today a bit like that kind of a prophet, a bit like Mary. Sometimes God whispers into our ears and points where the world is still upside down. And sometimes God whispers in our ears and says, it's been right side upped over here to the places where the proud have been brought low and the lowly have been lifted up. May we live as those who are mildly following Jesus and wildly seeking to live God's way. This, my friends, is the gospel. It's good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.